So, last week, we kicked off the 2021 TCEA Convention and Exposition this year presented in partnership with IdeaCon. Maybe you've heard me talk about this before. And the good news is, of course, that last week was just the start of a month of learning, of engagement activities, of on-demand sessions, and you can still be a part of it, by the way. All you got to do is go to convention.tcea.org, but we'll return to that later. Anyway, the point is, we kicked off each day with a kickoff event. We got up early, 7 a.m., at least 7 a.m. here at TCEA World Headquarters. It was even earlier for the folks on the West Coast. And we had live conversations that supplemented our featured focus presentations and gave some insights into the convention and the best ways to explore this month of learning. Now, the good news is most live sessions are now available on demand. And while you won't find these morning kickoffs in the convention platform, we thought we'd share them with you, the members of the EdTech Club, to give you a little insight, a little inspiration from our featured focus presenters and some of the organizers of this month of learning. So this week we're sharing our conversation with David Chan. He's the conference coordinator at IDEA, the Illinois Digital Educators Alliance, and he's a director of instructional technology. So we took the time to have a conversation about some of the benefits of this year's virtual convention in partnership with IDEA, what that does for teachers and the resources it might give you. And we talked about instructional technology. We talked about ed tech, of course. So we're covering a lot of ground live from TCEA 2021, and it all starts right now. Hey everyone, welcome back to another meeting of the EdTech Club, the podcast from TCEA. Our guest speaker for this week's meeting comes to us from the TCEA convention. Here's our morning kickoff conversation with David Chan. I think you and I probably know each other as faces on a Zoom call, which we are now. Luckily, right now we get the chance to actually kind of hang out and chat. We have this unique partnership this year. From your point of view, you know, bringing these two events, bringing these two organizations together, you know, grassroots groups of teachers and educators, that's an exciting opportunity. What have you seen so far? I mean, do you feel like there's a payoff there? What are the advantages of this kind of cross-pollinating of ideas?
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. As we talked about before, as I mentioned, I actually have not been to TCEA, and a large part of that is the timing of it all, right? So TCEA typically around this time, IdeaCon typically a little later, like towards the end of February, but it's hard for anyone to convince a school, if you work in a school, which many of us do, to go to two conferences in the same month, just probably not going to happen. So just the ability to experience TCEA, albeit virtually, to encounter and meet so many lovely people on the chat that come from Texas or in the area and connect with them and realize that we have, of course, similar interests, similar experiences, and we can bond instantly about, you know, our students that we're working with, the speakers we're excited to see and interact with, the tools that we use to educate our students. It's been just great knowing that. And honestly, you know, you just forget that we are Illinois, Texas. It's really just, we're all educators. So having this opportunity to connect with each other and get some different perspectives too, though, don't get me wrong, and to get access to different speakers that you know, we're accustomed sometimes to folks that are in Illinois. We have speakers and we love them, but it's great to have just additional insights and additional experiences from others. And so I really have enjoyed this past week and look forward to the weeks to come.
Yeah, I mean, I get paid to brag about this organization, but I'll step aside from my professional role and just say personally, the presenters that our organizations have worked together to get for this year feel, I mean, maybe it's just because of the couple of semesters we've had recently, but boy, it feels like there are people really bringing some energy right now. And boy, if that's not what we need.
And I would just add, you know, I think seeing each other work in the planning stages has really inspired, at least for us, you know, seeing what you all have done, TCEA, and the speakers that you kind of had lined up. And we definitely wanted to kind of hold up on our end too. So we, you know, really felt that Everyone's really bringing their pride and joy to what they do. And whether it's, you know, arranging for certain speakers or presenting your own, representing Illinois, representing TCA, I think it's just brought everyone's A game out even further.
You are kind of a tech focused person, educator. And but it must be interesting when you bring together, because, you know, education policy happens a lot on the state level. So how schools and districts are all structured, that's usually a state or a local thing. One of the things with getting to interact with more folks from other states and surely other nations is that you kind of get to see the small, minute differences. I mean, have you seen some value in being able to just get to learn directly from people who are teaching under, have the same passions and interests, but are teaching under different circumstances?
Absolutely. Especially now in this time, right? We're talking during this pandemic, during remote learning or hybrid learning, however you're teaching, we are all experiencing something together that none of us and really no one has ever done before. So it's almost better to have this grassroots approach to really talk with other educators, the people who are in the trenches doing the things that we're talking about in the classrooms and sharing these experiences. And now more than ever, it's the time to connect. And, you know, it's been a rough year. You know, many of us have been on whether remote or hybrid for close to a year now, right? So to have this opportunity, and maybe this is the first conference for some of our attendees since the pandemic started. So to be able to kind of get out there, and many people are feeling kind of down. And this is hopefully a chance to rejuvenate, to kind of get us over the hump, to get us over through to the other side of this pandemic. So I think, yeah, regardless of what's being done at a larger level, it really matters what's most done in a teacher's classroom, in a teacher's school, and with our students that we know and are in front of us. So this is a great way to kind of refresh, re-energize, and get back and apply what we're getting from this conference immediately to our teaching today or next week.
Yeah. And one of the fun things about any kind of, you know, professional conference, convention, trade show like this, you get to directly interact, right? So a lot of times there might be partnerships between districts or kinds of information sharing, exchange type things where, you know, maybe we learned something over here and there was a way of translating that to another state and then into the district and this and that. But when you do this, you just, I get to talk to you, David. And if you have a great idea, it's out there. I own it now and I get to take it with me. Yeah. That must kind of make a difference too.
Absolutely. And the chat has been amazing. I've moderated several sessions and I've been fortunate enough to kind of be a part of that, just bring on additional conversation, adding resources. And that's really one thing we don't get, honestly, in a live conference. You know, once the speaker takes the stage, so to speak, or is talking, we're kind of all focusing. And yes, there can be back channels. Yes, we can be tweeting out during the conference. But when you have a chat dedicated to that session that you are in, you have the freedom and the luxury of asking questions in real time and getting answers from the community, from everyone in that room. So I'm thinking and hoping and you know, predicting that we're going to see, again, just like we do in schools, a lot of the positives of this experience carry over to our future, in this case, in our future conferences. So whether it's back channels for every session that you have going in so that this learning and this, you know, as someone mentioned on the chat, no lines, no FOMO, fear of missing out on anything, you know, sessions. I see potentially, you know, more virtual sessions or at least giving the opportunity to attend a live conference for all attendees going forward. Now, it may not be every session, and of course, there's logistics, a lot of work to do this, we know, but I imagine and predict that we'll see a lot of carryover for this into the future, so.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot this week about, you know, the things we're going to carry forward. And I think that's part of it for us in terms of what we do in trying to share and connect educators. But you're also an instructional technologist. I assume for years you have been beating the drum on, you know, this is a great way to do differentiation. This is a really good tool for formative assessment. You've been trying to get these tools into the hands of your educators. How has that changed over the course from March 2020 to now? Surely the way your educators, the people in your district or your school look to you and the way you interact with them or the things you offer them have changed in some way, right?
Yeah, it's definitely been a challenge from, I remember the first day we went, it was March 17th. But I'll rewind a little bit because the work that, at least at our school and in so many schools, for people in my position, and whether you're a technology specialist or tech coordinator, you know, you've been working with educators on teaching digitally, on, you know, transitioning to something like a Google Classroom and getting work out there for your students and getting students more engaged with some of these tools, but really improving their learning and teaching and learning with potentially the use of technology. So, you know, we've been, as we said, we've kind of been putting a lot of the inroads towards something like this. And so I won't say that has been easy, you know, obviously shifting to remote learning when we had to, but we felt a little more comfortable, again, that the work that we've been putting in for years has been preparing our teachers. So it wasn't necessarily as big maybe of a shock to at least our teachers, and they were able to kind of cope with it a little bit better. Now, as time went on, you know, obviously we see experiences with students that struggle with remote learning, and that really hurts our teachers, right? If you're an educator, you see any student struggle, you want to do whatever you can to help that student. And when you don't have that in-person connection, right, it really made it hard, I think, for educators that are really just trying anything they can, making the phone calls, you know, getting on a Zoom call, getting on a meet whenever possible. But if that student is really having a hard time with that's been one of the biggest struggles. And so our team has really just tried to do whatever we could to, again, keep our students engaged, help them, you know, think about what they can do to kind of get more involved with remote learning, start talking about really how can we get students back and keep them involved. So working with our teachers to do that has been definitely one of the bigger challenges since we started back, at least in the fall.
And of course, across the country and really around the world, one of the things we've seen is a kind of struggle sometimes to connect with students. Sometimes they just drop off the map. It's hard to get them to engage in this virtual way. We've had themes all week, each day. The theme we're talking about today, we're talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion, and creating a good global citizens, people who can see themselves as part of a big system that they can contribute to. And so when you think about reaching students who may have disadvantages that keep them from participating virtually, or of course, in the traditional in-classroom sense, there are plenty of things that will keep a student from being able to genuinely and openly participate. From the tech point of view, what do you think about, are there useful inroads of using tech to create engagement with students, to make them feel included, to make them feel welcome and give them the opportunity to use their voice?
Yeah, I mean, I'll even though I'm a tech coordinator or director or whatnot, I often use lower tech tools, so to speak, too, right? So, you know, one of the things that our teachers I know have done an amazing job during this pandemic is to try to get to know students. You know, especially when you started class in the fall, you know, it was a little easier in the spring because when we shifted, people, just teachers knew their students, right, already. So they kind of had that relationship. But when you start in the fall, you get a whole new group of students. You're trying to build those relationships from scratch for many teachers, right, that didn't have these students before. So I've seen teachers go above and beyond, you know, in terms of just making phone calls, you know, getting those Zoom calls ready and just having as much contact points with their students. And I think for students of, again, any to be included, to talk about, you know, students, is to really get to know them better, to find out the individuals, what their interests are, and, you know, everything from how do I pronounce your name, you know, something that's simple, but you got to get that right, you know, things like that. To focus on that from the very beginning can, again, build inroads with that student. And so that, you know, when they do start struggling, when they do start potentially checking out, you will have made that connection with them already. And you can kind of, you have that kind of permission to reach out and say, hey, I noticed you're not doing as well, or there's something missing here. You know, how can we talk about this? Whereas if you didn't have that connection with them from the beginning, or at least you didn't try to, you know, so many students I hear from, or their families are like, you know, I'm so happy that this teacher called me. I'm so happy that, you know, this teacher noticed that I didn't turn in something for 2 days and then reached out right away, not just via email, but actually with a phone call, or they offered to set up a time. And you know, it doesn't even have to be your teacher. It could be someone else that, again, just cares about that student. So really trying to connect with that student can really hopefully try to bring them back in. But again, I know there, even in the toughest cases, you know, bringing in multiple people, we still have to try to be creative. And that's where, again, using technology potentially to engage that student to come up with something that either interests them, or, you know, you kind of look for that little spark for them that they can hopefully connect with and bring them back.
And I have to imagine, too, building those connections, of course, I mean, you bring up this point that you start a new semester totally virtual. That's a challenge. That's a big challenge to build those relationships. But as a kind of tech director, you must have seen some good examples of your teachers really finding new ways on the fly, basically. You know, we're building the airplane in mid-flight, finding new ways to make those connections. Are there any ways that they've done that have been surprising or that met your expectations or that you just think are good ideas worth sharing?
Yeah, I mean, just anything creative. You know, we recognize that we're all going to be on this virtual platform, client platform. So, you know, I saw there was a whole like 2-hour YouTube video about, you know, icebreaker games and getting to know you games when you have, you know, a virtual. So it could be everyone turn off their camera and then just say hello using your voice and people trying to guess who that is. And, you know, things like little games and things like that to really engage. Starting up every class with a video, having a class DJ, you know, rotating the students so that, you know, they can choose the music that we're going to open up with. Just anything to really create an engaging dynamic and to allow us to forget for a minute, you know, that we're all in our own homes and spaces and things like that. And we don't even know what, for the students in their homes, what that may look like and feel like. You know, it's odd that we're all kind of, I know we have all our virtual backgrounds right now, but, you know, this is where I live, or this is, mm-hmm. you know, an office. I'm actually in a closet right now. You don't even know that because we've converted this closet to a mini office. And you know, I have the luxury to do that, but maybe, you know, not many of our students have. They could be sitting at a table with three other siblings right there. And it's just, you know, kind of trying to forget that for a moment and really, you know, even forget about what I'm supposed to teach them today. I used to teach chemistry. Like, you know, yes, I want to get that knowledge. I want to share that with you, but I also want to make sure you're doing okay as a student. And, you know, we can get to the chemistry. We will, but we first need to do a check-in with how you're doing and how we're all kind of navigating through this. So things like that, really focusing, permission to focus on self-care and advocacy and, you know, then getting to the curriculum.
And on the other side, I mean, do you have advice for teachers to do the same? You know, they're going to be working to create an open space for all their students. How do they create space for themselves?
Yeah, so I'm excited to hear from Allie Hearn coming up on Saturday because her title is called It Starts With Us. You know, educators are doing so much for their students and rightfully so. But we often forget, this was pre-pandemic as well, you know, just focusing on your classes. I used to just, you know, teach, prep, teach, maybe eat lunch, right? I mean, teachers, we know the grind of just struggling through, but give yourself permission to take those walks, get a cup of coffee, stretch out, do something for yourself. You know, after a full day yesterday, I had to just get out of the house. I didn't leave the house. So I had to get out of the house. I went for a run, you know, so, quick shout out to our virtual race that's happening right now. We want to encourage you to get up and move, you know, educators, you deserve it. And you need to take care of yourself because when you do that, and I think we'll hear from Allie about this, that's going to improve your teaching, even more. If you're not, you know, healthy and vibrant and energetic, then, that's going to translate into your teaching.
Right. The whole role of an educator is to transmit to their students, knowledge specifically or thinking skills, but generally an energy level, right? And we see this with the presenters at a convention like this, the people who really knock our socks off. It's because they come in with a powerful message and they deliver it with the kind of energy that just hits you in the chest. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm thinking of like Hamish Brewer the other day and I'm just sitting there. I mean, you know, maybe it's a contrived metaphor, but it almost feels like going to church or something because you're getting filled up, you know, you're filling up that battery a little bit. It must be necessary, right? If your battery's on low, you're not charging anybody else's device. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, like, I remember when I taught, I felt like a performer, right? I mean, teachers are performing 4 or 5 times a day with their class. At least I was in high school. I taught 4 or 5 classes. And you're doing that. You have to shift from kind of like, you know, just not doing, you know, doing your work and doing your grading. And then all of a sudden you're on stage in front of 25, 30 people, night in, night out, 5 days a week. that takes a lot of energy, and your teachers are exhausted at the end of the day, and then they have to grade and you know, prep for the next day. So taking care of yourself is so important in that process, and you know, living off and breeding off the energy of your students and kind of helping you feed. I know I'm preaching to the choir, right? The educators, we know this is what we do. But just again, reflecting on that and thinking about that and giving yourself permission again to step back and relax, and the students will be there tomorrow and they'll be ready for you as well. But you got to take care of yourself.
Right. And you weren't a biology teacher, but I assume as a teacher of natural sciences, you know, you have an appreciation that energy and life goes in cycles, right? The energy cannot be created or destroyed. That's what I've been told.
There you go.
And so it goes somewhere, right? So it's not just, as I said earlier, you giving energy to the students. It's you picking up energy, and it's you cycling that energy back and forth and letting it grow.
Yeah, our students keep us going, right? I mean, we learn so much from them, whether it's content and knowledge, because they're curious about it. I know I heard on, you know, from Eric Kurtz just yesterday. We take it for granted that, you know, before search and internet, you know, if we didn't know something, we would just have to write it down, maybe look it up later, and most likely we just wouldn't do it. And now we can look it up right now. And by we, I mean our students, ourselves. And so whether it's I'm a teacher learning from my students, if I have a question or they have a question, I'm like, look it up. Okay, let's share it out. To learning from my students what, you know, TikTok is all about, right? Just figuring stuff out together and then feeding off that energy. So, but we have to give them that opportunity too, right? We have to make sure that students feel comfortable, feel okay to share. And, you know, in this day and age, you know, on Zoom or Meet, like permission to interrupt and say, hey, I have a question on this, or I researched this and I want to share out with the group. Giving our students the opportunity to have that. And again, that's maybe where the chat comes into play too, where you can do that at any time. Whereas in the face-to-face class, we can't have 25 people talking at the same time, but in a chat, we actually could.
Yeah. It's, you know, that's so, yeah, I love that phrase, permission to interrupt. Maybe some teachers will hate this. I don't know, but I think that feels powerful to me. And, you know, in a classroom with 30 plus students, that might be very difficult to do. You know, it's definitely something that happens in small academic seminars and college and things like that. But, you know, in group discussions, or, you know, if you think you can manage the class right, that ability for a student to just say, hey, wait a minute, you lost me, or sorry, I wasn't paying attention. What was the thing you said before this? That can be really powerful, because I remember that feeling of being in class and you're getting kind of a lecture style presentation, which you're going to have to do at some point. You know what I mean? There has to be a point where you just lay out the knowledge. But I remember kind of being like, there are probably things I would say or contribute if this were a casual discussion, but because there's 30 other people in this room, I'm going to keep my mouth shut and let the teacher keep going. Right.
Right. Absolutely. So yeah, if we could continue potentially having that back channel opportunity for students, or maybe collaboration on, you know, taking notes together in a class, something where we can continue, you know, allowing students to have voice during a lesson and working together, or again, the ability to feel comfortable with asking questions. And maybe you're right. Maybe it's not when we come back face to face, maybe it's not while the teacher's talking or when other people are talking, but, you know, they'll have a way, a mechanism to, again, because they've had this experience now, to feel comfortable asking for help, or again, getting some clarity on something.
We were talking earlier about the chat function at this convention and how meaningful that's been for us, just to be able to get those interactions and new insights, people dropping links answering, oh, I didn't hear that, I missed that. And, you know, oh, check out the transcript over here on the side of the window or whatever. It's been really cool. And I can see how, if I were a student, having a chat function where I don't need to immediately ask my question, but I'm a little curious about something, or need a little, could you revisit that? And you just kind of put it in the chat and say, I missed that, or who's this guy, or whatever. What's a molecular bond? It's like, oh, maybe we need to revisit this whole thing. So you've been helping us coordinate this partnership and these events. Now, today, as I had to get my calculator out earlier and figure out that this is day five. Yeah. We have another live day coming up, as you mentioned. Allie Hearn will be here giving a featured focus. We've got a lot of fun events. But then after the 6th, of course, we know that we're all going to have access to IdeaCon sessions and events from February 22nd to the 24th. But in between, there's a bunch of other stuff happening that's going to keep you and me and the folks up in Chicagoland and the folks down in Texas and everywhere in between, all connected. So what are you looking forward to? What are some of the events that folks are going to be able to take part in between now and March 5th?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I know we only have like 10, 15, we could go on for an hour just on this part. Right. So I think everyone should have received the daily convention email. There's going to be a link to a slide deck that has a list of all the engagement activities. So to take a quick step back, you know, we knew that it was going to be a challenge, but also an opportunity. That's something, again, during this pandemic, looking at challenges and looking for ways to bring positives out of that. So we knew we had the bookend. We had TCA, this first week of sessions with IdeaCon presenters as well. But then we have IdeaCon traditionally at the end of February, and there's this two-week gap. So we wanted to, the challenge for our committees were to find events and ways to kind of continue the engagement during these 2 weeks. So as we all know, attendees can view the recordings, you know, through March 5th. So, you know, there's tons of learning that can still happen, you know, again, throughout this next few weeks. But we also wanted to see what could we do to potentially take advantage of this opportunity where you have maybe some presenters who have presented, which we do, IdeaCon presenters have presented during this week, and we'll be doing a session during the 22nd to 24th. What if we had a couple speakers, such as Joan Sanfilippo, do a session, and Ali Hearn as well, do a session during this first week, and then do a follow-up kind of either for Q&A purposes or for additional kind of content that can piggyback off their first session. So opportunities that we don't normally get maybe in a traditional conference setting that we want to kind of build in this experience. And I'll start with or continue with two experiences that are happening right now that span the entire month. We have our virtual race, which I just talked about, which again, we wanted to come up with ways to engage attendees that have nothing to do with the screen. So get out, get moving. You can walk, you can run, you can bike, you can cycle, but you need to join the team. You need to join either Team IdeaCon or Team TCA. We got a little competition going. I'm going to say Illinois is in the lead, Andrew. So I don't know, you know, you got to get your peeps out there because right now we got this map and we're either going from Texas to Illinois or we're going from Illinois to Texas. And right now our people are further along there. So let's see you, Texas. You get out there. You don't have 10 inches of snow out your backyard, right? So no excuses for y'all.
There's going to be some point in Missouri where the two groups cross over.
Yeah, now, virtual high five right there.
Here in Texas, we want that point in Missouri to be farther north. I think y'all want it to be maybe closer down. So we're going to see where that crosses over. I will say to my Texas friends.
All right. Get them out there.
If you're getting on Team TCEA, we got to start running, y'all.
There you go. Again, open to any activity. You could be shoveling snow or you could be, walking to the store. It's all counts as miles and activities, things like that.
I don't mean to interrupt. Shoveling snow. What is
that? That doesn't really count. You're right. But it does count.
Shovel? Like you're digging a hole?
Yes. No, okay. You're digging yourself. You're digging your car.
Your way to work, right?
Face. Yeah. You got to get moving there. So,
okay. I get it now. Okay. Sorry. I forgot about snow.
What is it? 50 down there. All right.
Right. It's like 65.
Oh, stop it. We also have the virtual book study that's happening right now. So we have four authors, Eric Kurtz, Stacey Rashan, George Valenzuela, and Kevin Carroll, our keynote speaker at IdeaCon. Have graciously offered to kind of help participate. We have facilitators from both IDEA and TCA that are doing a slow chat on Twitter. So, you know, it's okay. You read at your own pace. It's not pressure. Pick up a book. And then also you'll be invited to a meet and greet with these authors. So it's a great opportunity to connect with each other, as well as connect with a great book that you can apply lessons into your teaching right away. And again, have an opportunity to connect with the authors themselves. So those two are happening like right now. But again, starting next week, we have some great events, everything from, Wonder Days, which is this platform that we're testing out where you literally just walk around on a virtual screen. And then when you connect with someone, poof, you're in like a video conference. So it was as real of an experience as I had on a digital platform. So we have 13 days of Wonder where you can just, there's topics and people are going to engage in. And it's just an open kind of cafe style environment. We have versus EDU battles. Oh my gosh. There's going to be these matchups where I think D. Lanier and Ken Shelton, I think, are our first up. Let me pull it. Yeah. So on February 8th, D. Lanier versus Ken Shelton, they're going to just like go against each other, do some demo slam, do some like ed tech battle where, catering to the audience and trying to get the most like, things like that. We have some other matchups, Jen Layden, Jennifer Cassatod, Nyree Clark versus EdTech Ari from yesterday. I know EdTech Ari's stoked for that. Joe Sanfilippo versus Tom Murray, and then Desiree Alexander versus Nicole Taylor. So amazing group of lineup there. So those are versus battles. I mean, I could go on. We've got the slide deck in there.
And just, I'll say, those versus battles, I think they're going to be what the kids call fire. It's like a Instagram takeover, and they kind of they go back and forth, and you see who gets more likes, which seems really fun. But I know that you mentioned Tom and Joe. I think they're already starting to talk trash on Twitter.
I wouldn't be surprised. They've been
jumping into the competition. So I think that one's going to be one to watch.
We might have to separate them, like even digitally. Okay.
We'll get the ref out. All right, gentlemen.
Right. Yeah.
You know, let's keep it clean. No punching below the belt. Have a good fight. Yeah. And in the process of setting up this very, well, the word of the decade so far, unprecedented convention and all the activities that we're putting together. I mean, it's a lift, just like everything else has been for everybody attending. But for you personally, I mean, what's it been like in your role with IDEA to think about what we do for this event and more generally, you know, professional development and PLN network building? What's your perspective on how that's changed a little bit and maybe the opportunities or things you're worried about? But, you know, surely there's a lot of
possibilities. I've been doing it for several years now. And, you know, we get into our routines. We get into what we are comfortable with when you're putting on a convention, traditional and a center. And, you know, you get your speakers, you get your lineup, and you have some fun activities at night. But this year has definitely been different because not only, you know, with the speakers being virtual, but then these 2 weeks in between, our conference committee has done an amazing job of getting creative. You know, these ideas were really just born out of this group of individuals of educators. You know, we're all educators, and just kind of ways to think about how can we engage other like-minded folks in different ways so that it's not just maybe a traditional video lecture or presentation, but ways for people to connect, again, get out of their seats, do things, address self-care. So really talking about opportunities. And I think some of that will carry over. It's already started. You know, again, we'd like to say we think outside the box for our committee and ways to do things that haven't been done before. And obviously this year, especially, you know, we had this opportunity to put on not only a digital conference, also a digital conference that's happening, you know, 9 months after this started. You know, people have gone, you know, I know many, this could be their first digital conference, but for others, this could be it's certainly their millionth Zoom call, right? So, you know, it's not like that's new for anything. So how can we create new experiences? How can we create things that can get people excited about doing something on their computer? So hopefully, you know, we're going to try to achieve that in the next 2 weeks. And again, I'm sure some of these events and activities will carry over to next year's conference.
So part of what you do for a living is thinking about the ways this tech can help build actual, real, lifelong or lasting learning. Are there lessons you take from planning an event like this, even a PD thing? Because, I mean, we've got instructional coaches out there. We've got administrators and we've got teachers. And I think there are probably lessons that can apply across the board in terms of when we need to be digital, what we can do, and simply when we want to be digital to supplement or to amplify or to give more choices for students and teachers. So what are kind of the lessons learned or the advice you'd give in terms of just generally using these kind of remote technologies to make connections with people?
Yeah. I mean, I think from a conference planning side of things, I the first thing I would say is that it really does take a team to put this thing on. As you know, part of the TCA team, and then we've got our IdeaCon team. And similar in education, you know, as a teacher, again, I feel like many teachers are siloed. We're kind of, again, in our own rooms, in our own office spaces, whatever. But to be able to connect with other teachers. And then now that teachers are forced to not do that in person, they really have, hopefully, and maybe we'll continue to do so. And I encourage you all to do this, is to connect with others online, you know, to build your PLN. To get onto Twitter, even it doesn't have to be to share or post, although everybody has something to share and post. Like you are not going to be you know, someone will learn something from you. But even if you don't do that, just, you know, lurking on there, it's okay. Following and picking up stuff and realizing that there's this whole community of people that you can collaborate with, you can build teams with, and it doesn't have to be in person. And I think that too will kind of carry over. So, you know, I've taken from my experience here to my regular job as well, like this ability to work together, albeit remotely right now, on projects, on experiences, all with, again, the idea of how can we help our students. So that doesn't change too, right? Our mission is the same for whether it's this organization or for whether it's your school. And, you know, I think it also applies true that I couldn't do this alone. And as teachers, we can't do it alone. We shouldn't be expected to. We should, you know, feel comfortable in working with other people, and doing so digitally is fine. And one other thing, my first experience as a teacher was in a small private school. I was the only chemistry teacher. I was the only geometry teacher when I started. And so I didn't have this opportunity to kind of really connect with. I had to really seek other teachers at the school that maybe didn't teach the same thing, but, you know, I could at least talk to about what's going on in the classroom. That's totally changed now. So whether you're in a one-room schoolhouse or you're in a high school that has 3,700 students, you have the ability to connect with others. And I encourage people to do that. Like, not just, even when we do go back, to always have connections and communities outside of your immediate environment, because only then can you start really thinking about and experiencing other people's points of view and things that you will never even consider if you just thought about your own kind of classroom, school, or community. So one other thing that this is benefit, like making these connections, hopefully people are building some connections with folks from Illinois and Texas and all across the country and world, so that they can continue having opportunities to experience that.
That's such a good point. You know, we've talked, I think, in a previous morning kickoff about sort of both in Texas and in Illinois, you've got big urban centers, but you've also got very rural places. You know, one of the things we talk about in Texas here is getting those rural places connected, and having people able to engage digitally this way. But in general, it kind of drives home the sense that not all educators are resourced the same way. They don't have access to the same things within their school or their district. Mm-hmm. But the ability to come to an event like this, is, if you're the only chemistry teacher at your school, you really don't even have anyone to ask about, like, oh, I want to do demonstrations like Kate the chemist. And, you know, but I need some advice on how to set that up for my classroom, how to get, you know, get it all. I've never done it before, et cetera. But at an event like this, I can see an Illinois educator and be like, oh, David's done this before. Mm-hmm. That's great. He can give me those tips. I wouldn't have got those back home. You know, it's just, you know, we always talk about building your PLN, but I mean, this is like the potential for genuine expansion that you might not have ever been able to do before.
Absolutely. And, you know, we all know we can go to YouTube to kind of learn things and, you know, figure stuff out. But YouTube's become so much of a kind of bastion of material that we get overwhelmed right away. It's nice to have. And again, this is overwhelming too. Don't worry, I'm looking at the, you know, session schedule, and there's like dozens of schedules. I tweeted on the first day. I'm like, I think I filled my itinerary with like, you know, 20 right off the top of that, you know, we'll see if I can get to, but at least I can kind of get that first connection, you know, with something. If something sparks my interest on this schedule, I can choose to view it. I can kind of dig a little bit. I can make a connection potentially. Whereas, you know, if I just go to YouTube, I'll get overwhelmed or I'll get distracted and I'll start watching like Jimmy Kimmel or something like that. Right. So it's nice to see that I have this session schedule and I have the ability to connect with educators, and I can read a little bit more about it and really kind of make that first step, especially if I'm, you know, it's my first conference, first experience with something like this. It can help me kind of overcome that feeling of being overwhelmed by looking at this. And we have curated schedules too. You know, we try to help as a conference, help our attendees do that as well. So, you know, definitely help. And feel free to reach out, whether it's chat or, you know, I know we have the design desk, or anytime people need help or are curious about, hey, I'm lost, I need help, don't feel afraid to ask as well.
Yeah, we're not here to like hide anything. You know what I mean? That's quite the opposite.
Absolutely.
Well, David, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Thank you for all the work you continue to do to help put this event together. We are greatly appreciative. Thank you so much, David.
This was fun. Thanks, Andrew. I appreciate it. Again, everyone, check out that daily convention email, the slide set of activities. I apologize. I couldn't even go into all of them. There's so much for everyone. There's something for everyone to do over these next couple weeks. And we look forward to seeing you at IdeaCon as well, 22nd to 24th.
Okay, our thanks to David and, of course, to everyone helping make this event possible. And you can still be a part of it. We have sessions on demand. We have a virtual race across the country. We have book study groups. We have all kinds of things coming up throughout this month. So make sure you get registered at convention.tcea.org. So there's your opportunity to earn a little extra credit with the TCEA convention presented with IdeaCon. Jump in, start learning, grow your PLN, and have fun. I hope that's how you'll be spending your time between now and the next meeting of the EdTech Club. And until that time, I'm Andrew Rausch. Thanks for being part of the club. EdTech Club is a production of TCEA. To learn more and to join, go to tcea.org.